This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot on all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
When I was a kid, my favorite show was The $6 Million Man. Well, The $6 Million Man of the Biden cartel is not Lee Majors or Colonel Steve Austin. It's Rob Walker, business partner and longtime associate of Hunter Biden. He was paid $6 million. We know this from the Senate Homeland Security Committee, paid that enormous sum of money by the CCP-controlled State Energy Limited Company of Shanghai, which is an affiliate of CEFC Energy, which paid $5 million to Hunter Biden. Now, his wife is Betsy Walker. She is the longtime personal assistant of Joe Biden. Neither of the Walkers have any expertise in China nor in energy. Why then would these energy companies pay such vast sums of money from the Chinese Communist Party directly to the Walkers? Well, the answer is clear. It's their proximity and influence with the Bidens, the man who could potentially be the president of the United States in just a few weeks. That's why Rob Walker, in a phone call to Tony Bobulinski, when he told us that he was coming public about his awareness of who the big guy is, Joe Biden, Rob Walker said to Tony B, Tony, you're going to bury us all, man. And that's the truth.
This is why I'm so proud of the show and the people we have on there. What was the date of that, Brother Cortez?
2020. By the way, I happen to notice I have the same tie on as I had then. But anyway, that is December of 2020. And to connect this discussion, by the way, to Silicon Valley Bank, because there is definitely a connection here, realize that all of that story, right, about the CCP corruption of the Biden cartel, right, all of that was censored by the very same organizations and people that we just bailed out. Amen. At Silicon Valley Bank. Amen. Okay, these stories are interconnected. We just bailed out, you know, it's unfair on its face anyway, but we just bailed out some of the worst people in the world who have abused the American people, who have censored information, okay? And during that time, in the fall into the election of 2020, I believe, rigged the 2020 election. Much more so than any shenanigans with mail-in voting. I think all that was material, but much more significant to me was what big tech did. This is the same cast of characters, the same organizations. And so since Rob Walker is back in the news, I said, you know what? I've got a Chalk Talk from 3 years ago. Let's dust that off because it's very relevant now, right? Steve, here's the thing too. I think most people are very aware. They expect a certain amount of corruption in politicians, okay? They accept sort of what you might call sort of standard graft. This is so much worse than anything standard because this is treasonous. These are the worst enemies of the United States. This is money flowing in by the millions from Moscow and from Beijing. So this isn't your standard sort of influence peddling. It's something that is orders of magnitude worse and, in fact, treasonous. And it should have been disqualifying in the first place. But, of course, it still is regarding Joe Biden.
I want to make sure we're going to connect dots. These are all interlinked, and that's why we, in the show, make sure that you understand the linkages, okay? Remember, the blockbuster of the Solomon stuff, which I have said for years, is that they're showing that the intelligence services, and of course Biden knew about what the Chinese Communist Party was doing with an offensive biological weapons program to be used against the United States of America and ultimately used to take down Donald Trump because Trump was crushing the CCP. We had a program to take down the CCP, okay? You see that, you see what he knows, and then you're going to see, Natalie's going to walk us through the update and what Cortez just said, right? And remember, they absolutely knew the war that the CCP has against us, right? The unrestricted war, where they use everything, the unrestricted warfare. Now, it hasn't gone kinetic yet, right? It doesn't need to. There's Sun Tzu. They want to win without firing a shot. One of the ways they do it is to corrupt. and influence Pelley and own, you know, it's elite capture. Right now we have, I think, actually, so we're going to be elite merger. But then Cortez brings up the fact that the Silicon Valley Bank, all those oligarchs and sitting there, they're whining about, oh, we can't make payroll. They can make payroll. All you got to do is give a credit line out of your money, not our money, your money. All those people, the ones that deplatformed you and debanked you to make sure Biden won, they're the ones that forced this. And now when they have to pay for what they've done, they look to you to bail it out. That is the Greek tragedy part of this. They did this to the country and kept the upside. They did this to the country. They did this to the nation. They removed Trump from office. They got Biden in there. And now that Biden's in there, right, his spending, the out of control, and they're all the Build Back Better and the investment program, the infrastructure, and the American Recovery Act. How's that American Recovery Act looking for you now? Jim Cramer, the best economy in 40 years, all lies, misrepresentation, and incompetence, all rotted up in one ball. Silicon Valley Bank and the oligarchs around it should burn in hell. Burn in hell, okay? And we're bailing out the CCP companies. And by the way, Janet Yellen shows up and she looks like your crazy Aunt Daisy, right? She comes for Christmas dinner or for Thanksgiving. You don't want to ask her any too serious of questions because you go off on some bizarro tangent. That's sitting in the seat of Alexander Hamilton, okay? That's your Secretary of the Treasury. Deal with that for a second. Cortez, hang on. I want you to stick. I know you got to bounce, but I want so Natalie, get us up to date. Why is Cortez's 3-year-old from 2020, December 2020 relevant today, ma'am?
It's highly relevant, and I think it's important that we preface this whole entire discussion with understanding what exactly CEFC China Energy is. This isn't just one of these foreign influence groups that work to uphold Sun Tzu's theory of really subduing the enemy without fighting, right? Compromising Western elites through business deals and blackmail. This is a entity that has directly worked with the People's Liberation Army, supplies them financially, supplies them with arms. This is a political arm of the People's Liberation Army. But why it's so relevant, too, in this case is because there's new revelations coming out of the House Select Committee run by James Comer, specifically into the Biden family's financial affairs with Rob Walker, but more importantly and more precisely, the Chinese Communist Party. There was a $3 million wire that came from a company that was basically run by CEFC China Energy that was given to Robinson Walker LLC. But what was so interesting is that those funds, which came in around March of 2017, were later dispersed into various bank accounts affiliated with the Biden family. Of course, Hunter Biden received a sum, also Jim Biden, which is Joe Biden's brother, but they just unmasked the identity of another Biden family member who received part of this, what I would call a kickback. And believe it or not, it's Hallie Biden, who is the widow of Bo Biden turned former lover of Hunter Biden. But believe it or not, that's actually not the most crazy element to this story. But what I think the buried lead of this story is, and if you read the memo that House Republicans put out about this, is that there's actually a fourth recipient of funds. It was another bank account titled Biden, but we don't know exactly which family member it was. And just to sort of, there's a chart on the screen, you can see where the funds went to. But the important part in all of this, in terms of CEFC China Energy, people may remember the infamous, the notorious line of 10% for the big guy, which we likely assume, and I think we are correct in that, that is Joe Biden. But what's so interesting is that that 10% discussion was talking in reference to CEFC China Energy, which is the same firm that was giving the $3 million sum to Rob Walker, which then later was sent to various members of the Biden family.
Unbelievable. By the way, we could refer to was it Haley? But she's the grieving widow. She's actually has a starring role on the Laptop from Hell, does she not, ma'am? Her role, this is the first time she's come forward, the role of the taking the money. But she on the like I say, you go for the poor and you stay for the compromise, right? The other side, she's got a starring role also. Ooh, did I mention the Laptop from Hell? Yes, I mentioned the Laptop from Hell. Very proud of my association with the Laptop from Hell, okay? Because the American people need to see it. Now they're getting to the bottom of it. How once again, I just want to see if this is the capital markets. Is this not an energy company? It was the capital markets provider and really distribution system for One Belt, One Road, which is the predicate for how they're trying to control the Eurasian landmass with Iran, with Saudi Arabia, with Turkey, with Pakistan, with Russia. I just want to make sure everybody understands that. Give me one more time on that, Natalie, how important this is. This is just not some marginal company or some company that's a China company that's a CCP controls. This is the core. This is their capital markets division, ma'am.
Well, remember, Steve, when we talk about the cult of climate change, the weaponization of energy policies to advance certain agendas, right? It's not actually about preserving the climate. It's not actually about energy. It's just sort of a conduit for either the World Economic Forum to advance their power. In this case, the Chinese Communist Party used the concept, the context of energy to get in business with the Biden family. But I think it also is important to understand in the context of really the disarray that we're seeing going on in the country right now, in terms of trying to understand the energy policies, the America Last energy policies that the Biden regime is putting out. And because if they wanted to even, you know, adopt America First energy policies, the level of compromise that they have, not just through Hunter Biden, but now through Jim Biden and Hallie Biden and likely Joe Biden, they couldn't even if they wanted to, because they're so financially compromised by the Chinese Communist Party, particularly in the sector of energy. And just remember, CEFC China Energy, this, again, is a political arm of the People's Liberation Army. The founder of it, Ye Jianming, who basically was disappeared, he's a princeling of a former high-level officer in the People's Liberation Army. And the ties between CEFC China Energy and China's military are so profound, are so intense. It's not even just war room reporting it. The New York Times, CNN, these outlets have even talked about it, not necessarily in the context of the Biden family, but CEFC China Energy is a well-known PLA operation, PLA front.
Steve Cortez, closing thoughts before we let you bounce on this. Actually, this is a disgrace. This is a disgrace. Understanding the intelligence that Biden had is not just in the Senate for 30 years, but as Vice President of the United States, knowing exactly what the CCP was doing. Give me your assessment, sir.
You know, I'm glad that Natalie, in her exhaustive reporting, did mention there that Chairman Yi has disappeared. So he's either dead or probably in a camp somewhere in China. These are the kind of gangsters that the Biden family was dealing with from Beijing. And to connect this to current headlines, Steve, a lot of Americans are scratching their heads. How is it possible that the United States just allowed a Chinese spy balloon to cross over the entirety of the United States, starting with Alaska and then the 48 contiguous states? How is it possible that the greatest superpower in the history of the world allowed that indignity, that embarrassment to happen to the United States? Well, I would point directly to this compromise of the Biden family, of big guy Joe Biden, of the Biden cartel by the Chinese communists, because we knew that that spy balloon was over the Pacific Ocean when it left China, and yet we did nothing. If we're going to connect the dots here, Steve, all of this works, unfortunately, into a corrupt, seamless garment. The Bidens are compromised. And because of that, they are unable, Joe Biden is unable to effectively defend the United States. That was shown, unfortunately, in the starkest terms to the entirety of the country, where we were a laughingstock, quite literally. So again, connect the dots, follow the money. And if we do that, by the way, we're going to be reinforced, though, in making sure that there is an America First tidal wave in elections that are both this year and then, of course, especially into 2024.
Steve, what's your social media? How do you get to your Substacks?
Yeah, please find me on the Twitter. I'm at Cortez, Steve Cortez with an S. And looking forward this weekend to seeing all the great patriots in Queens, New York for my keynote address there on Sunday.
Look forward to it. We'll promote that big time. In fact, we may have this live stream. We'll cover it. Cortez, thank you. Natalie, amazing job once again. And your initial reporting has been amazing on this. How do people get to you, Natalie, over the weekend?
Thank you. I have to say, I look forward to discovery with the impending lawsuits of Hunter Biden and his hard drive. I think it'll make the videos that we've seen on the hard drive seem like child's play. But you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Getter.
Natalie, I think what we're going to do is we're going to do a special on the grieving widow. We'll do a special on the grieving widow. I'll talk to you afterwards. We'll figure out how to do this. The grieving widow needs her time in the sun. Short break. Julie Kelly next.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay. I want to tell the team I want to break out that cold open and make sure we get it up in the first segment. I've gotten a lot of good feedback on that. In particular, you got to look at Janet Yellen. She's Secretary of the Treasury during the biggest – this is a bigger capital markets and financial crisis than the late 1920s, early 1930s. Much deeper. Much deeper. Have we been wrong in any of this so far? No, we have not. Much deeper. And it's going to get a lot worse. And you're going to be called on. This is why you got to say, I'm not complying with this. We got to go to the three zeros. Make sure you go to birchgold.com/Bannon right now. Get your free. This is totally free. It's the debt trap. It's the third in the series of the end of the dollar empire. She is going to Moscow on Monday. We're going to cover this tonight and also tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to get into heavy economics, geopolitics, all of it. So you're not going to want to miss Saturday. I get a time to kind of breathe and break this stuff down for you and have some experts on here to show you the direction of this, what's happening. Because you have to be armed with knowledge and information. And you have to understand process because these are the geopolitical and the collapse of the neocon converging with the collapse of the neoliberal. As I said at CPAC, they're converging. Their two crises are converging. Once they converge, they conflate. This is kind of what the Davos guys were talking about, but they never really got to it when they talked about those six crises. They're going to converge and conflate, and once they converge and conflate, which is happening right now, you don't have control of the situation. A lot of people have this embedded thing that the United States of America is always in control, has always been in control, and can control action, make decisions. We're going to very quickly lose that. And then you're all about the law of unintended consequences. It's kind of fog of war. We're going to make sure this audience understands exactly with crystal clear, diamond-like clarity of exactly what's happening. Then you can figure. Then you can make your own decisions. Okay, Julie Kelly. Make sure you get that. Also, we're going to Mike Lindell on later. MyPillow.com, the 2.0. Look, you're not going to get. I know you're going to toss and turn. I can't sleep. Hey, get a MyPillow 2.0. It'll help you get to sleep. Sleep of the just on the products on MyPillow. MyPillow.com. Promo code WORM. You get all the sales. Buy one, get one free. Get the new pillow. I know it's tough to sleep nowadays, but you can really do it on a MyPillow product. Julie Kelly, with all this madness going on, we just walked through the Biden crime family and how egregious it is. Let's be blunt. They sold us out to the greatest enemy this nation's ever had. Now, President Trump said it's the administrative state. Hey, bro, I'm with you on that. That is a problem. The CCP, I think, maybe takes a step because it's interlocked and interwoven. It's all inside of our administrative state. Trust me. Look at John Solomon. How did they have an active from 2005? We've known they've had an active offensive biological weapons program. And how is that not known throughout all the other systems of the government? How do we not make decisions on that? How did we fund the Wuhan lab? How did we give them the technology? They didn't have the gain-of-function technology. We gave it to them. Or certain elements, Fauci and these guys. Julie Kelly, by the way, we've seen people taking money to betray their country. But what the Justice Department, I'm hearing, is that their focus is on 1,000 more J6. Please walk me through this, ma'am, and tell me where we are.
So right now, Steve, the Department of Justice and FBI are bragging that their total caseload related to the four-hour disturbance 26 months ago on January 6, 2021, is now over 1,000 total criminal defendants. That number is expected to double. Now, this is based on a report from the Washington Post late last year. Matthew Graves, who is the Biden campaign advisor turned Biden appointee to head arguably the most powerful and unaccountable U.S. attorney's office in the country, located in Washington, D.C., he said that that caseload would reach at least 2,000. Now, Steve, I saw Matthew Graves last month when I was covering parts of the Proud Boy trial. He comes in with an aide and, you know, to give prosecutors support and watch over them and show the judge that he's there. So I walked up to Matthew Graves and I asked him twice to confirm the reports by the Washington Post that that number would double. He refused to answer and directed me to his press office. But look, I don't need to call his press office now. It was reported in the Washington Post, and now it's been reported again in Bloomberg. And I will tell you, Steve, the acceleration of arrests is not just spin in the news media. I believe that there have been arrests made every single day this week, including a married couple from Indiana. And what they're doing, because they're sort of under fire because the overwhelming majority of their charges are misdemeanors, of course, parading in the Capitol, a Class B low-level misdemeanor, is by far the most common charge. But what Matthew Graves' office is doing is adding either a civil disorder felony or an obstruction of official proceeding felony or both to those misdemeanor cases to bolster and juice up their number of felony counts. Really despicable, but they're up against the clock, either statute of limitations or, of course, the slim prospect that a Republican will be allowed to win the White House in 2024.
But we can't wait for 2024. I know MTG's all over this, but Julie, what? How can the Republicans allow this to happen? We've got the Biden family sold us out to the CCP. We got infiltration everywhere. We got the country financial systems collapsing. They're trying to get us in another war. And 12 at the end of their regime, it's going to be 12 million minimum illegal aliens here in the country that they led. A federal judge has said everything they're doing is illegal, and tell them they got to stop it. How can we allow the Justice Department and FBI, out of control FBI and DOJ, to hunt down MAGA, to hunt down these basic American citizens that did nothing? How can we allow that? How can the Republican Party sit there and allow this? I'm telling you, if these politicians will give their asses, you're all going to be turfed out. People are tired of the whole thing. They're sick of it. They see now the country imploding in front of our eyes by actions taken by these radical oligarchs, elites, Democrats, and the globalists that are with them. It's obvious. Don't look at me. Just look around you. You having a good time? Your 401k doing well? Everything good? No, it all sucks, right? So how can we just sit here and allow how can the Republican Party just go along and comply? I mean, I got Julie Kelly, and you got Darren B, you got others, right? And you get on Tucker, you see the footage for a night. It's all fine. You see the lies. But how can we allow this to go on, ma'am?
I don't know. And not only are Republicans allowing it to go on, keep in mind, as you'll recall, 18 Republican senators who, when they voted for that omnibus package last year, voted to give this DOJ a $3.5 billion raise, which includes nearly $600 million for the FBI. And Lisa Monaco, the deputy attorney general, longtime Obama loyalist, who only two Republican senators voted against her taking over the Justice Department, basically, she said specifically that some of that money would be used to hire at least 100 temporary federal lawyers specifically to prosecute January 6 cases. 18 Republican senators voted in support of that. But Steve, I'm going to tell you, this is not just a Washington problem. Where are the Republican governors? Where are the Republican attorney generals? You don't just allow this rogue, corrupt FBI to come into your state and your community, falsely accuse your constituents of crimes, concocted crimes, or crimes that they've weaponized, like obstruction of an official proceeding, haul them off to DC jails and say nothing. I mean, all you have to do is look at the Eric Schmidt and Jeff Landry lawsuit that accuses the government of being in cahoots with big tech, et cetera, to violate the First Amendment rights of their constituents. Where are those lawsuits for January 6ers? I'm telling you, states like Florida has the most criminal defendants for January 6th. Florida also has at least three men who have been held under pretrial detention orders for close to 2 years. Where is the Republican governor? Where is the Republican AG? Where's the Republican governor and AG for the state of Texas or Indiana or Tennessee or any of these states? It has been deafening silence. Enough already. Congress has enough on its plate. Marjorie Taylor Greene and a handful of Republicans can't do all of the heavy lifting on every single scandal. When you have this going on 2 years later and you have political leadership in big states doing nothing to protect the rights of their own constituents in the face of this vengeful, reckless, rogue DOJ, it's time for others to step up besides just the usual suspects in Congress.
And you on your reporting is amazing. Julie, how do people follow you on this? Because this is going to start coming to a head. By the way, I want to announce MTG saw this part, and MTG is going to join us tonight at 6, and we're going to take this as the top topic. We're going to go through other things, too, but we're going to deal with this. Julie, how do people get to your reporting? How do they follow you on social?
So my reporting can be found at American Greatness, samgreatness.com. I'm on Twitter a lot, Julie_Kelly2, where I'm posting updates from what's happening in trials, court motions, transcripts from what these ridiculous judges are saying. So that's mostly where people can find me.
And I want to thank you, Julie, as a young Irish lass, to delay your partying, on your celebration of St. Patrick's Day, to join us here in the 11 o'clock hour.
Well, now I can go.
Thank you so much, man.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Aaron Gobra. Thank you very much, Julie Kelly. Good Chicago Irish girl. Okay. We're going to have Mark Mitchell. So, and we're going to have him after the break. He's got explosive new poll that's going to make your head blow up about Arizona. But when I get back, in fact, we're going to come back in the break and we're starting Arizona. But I'm going to hold him because his polling on the movement of Trump's favorability numbers, as I've told people last night, trying to explain it to him in the math, it is the reason you're seeing Trump get this spread in the spread in these other polls. What has happened is Trump's gone after him on policy, as we've been saying, on policy, and he went to East Palestine, Ohio. Those two fundamental changes. And you're seeing it in the Rasmussen poll shows you the entire thing, the entirety of it. And it's a serious poll. That is the foundation of what's manifesting in these other polls. The other polls don't, the manifestation of what Mark Mitchell and the team at Rasmussen found is very, very profound. Quite important for this moment in history. Mark Mitchell joins us from Rasmussen next in the War Room.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, we're going to change this up. You've got breaking news on polling out of Arizona, Mark Mitchell. And can you put, because it's such a blowaway poll. It's such a massive poll, first off, what you did, I think 1,000. Walk us through what your latest explosive polling shows out of the state of Arizona.
It shows that people in Arizona, by and large, think that cheating happened just this recent midterm, not even 2020. We've asked at a national level, the 2020 numbers, how likely is it that cheating affected the outcome? And we've always shown every single time we've tested, like 6 or 7 times now, that a strong majority of voters think it's likely that cheating affected the outcome. Number's been as high as 58%. I think it never got lower than 53%. And what instigated this particularly was a poll that actually a reader brought to our attention. And it was this Ohio Predictive Insights poll that ran about a month ago. And there were a couple things that just really upset us about it. It seemed like they cherry-picked results. There were some very leading questions. And they sat on the poll for a month and seemed to be dropping it for political reasons. So I say this a lot to people who are our followers in the videos I do. If you don't like polling, don't say, well, your polls are garbage. Don't ignore it. Go out and do your own poll. Hire your own poll. So somebody came to us and hired us for a poll in Arizona. And that, to me, that's the way polling is supposed to work. And we came at this from a million different directions. We're not going to cherry pick results. We're not going to pretest words to try and get the results we want. We go out, we ask questions, we weight it to match what we think the electorate looks like, and we run with the results. And we got some pretty incredible things. And if you want, I can just run down a little list here of all other things we've.
Let's do
how
it.
How likely is it that cheating affected the outcome of the 2020 presidential election? This is 1,000 Arizona likely voters. 49% say at least somewhat likely, 29% say very likely, 68% of Republicans say likely, and even 29% of Democrats. Republicans in Arizona say problems with the 2020 election in Maricopa prevented many people from voting. How likely is it that these problems affected the outcome of the election? So we even used the word Republican in there, and talking specifically about Maricopa suppression. 54% of Arizona likely voters say at least somewhat likely, 35% say very likely, 76% of Republicans say likely, and 1/3 of Arizona Democrats. how likely do you agree or disagree with this statement It isn't about Republicans or Democrats. It's about our sacred right to vote, which sadly many voters were deprived of on November 8th. That's Carrie Lake quote, by the way. 58% of Arizona likely voters agree, 72% of Republicans, 37% of Democrats. So, I mean, we went on. Oh, this one's my favorite too. So they asked the Ohio Predictive Insight poll. Just they, you know, they do this thing where they give you two long sentences to pick from, ask you which one is most represents your view. And those, it's not apples and oranges. The sentences can be worded very differently. And the one that was the fraud response to me seemed like it had some keywords and tricky phrases in there that would make people not want to answer it. It's much more accurate and telling to just throw a statement out there and give voters a chance to say yes, no. Have you seen compelling evidence that makes you believe there was election fraud in Arizona 2020 elections? 35% of Arizona voters say yes. Only 50% say no. Only 50% of Arizona voters say no. 15% say not sure, but they can always be convinced. 53% of Republicans say yes, 17% of Democrats, 32% of independents. So this is a very strong signal that Arizona voters are aware that there are irregularities in cheating. How likely is it that irregularities in the election in heavily affected Republican areas happened intentionally to suppress Republican vote? 49% of Arizona voters say likely, 72% of Republicans, and 26% of Democrats, 47% of independents.
Yeah, you can't.
You
can't have a, I mean, when you've got this proportion of the electorate that thinks something happened and is stolen, you can't. They talk about a democracy. How are you going to talk to me about 2020? You also did 2022. Walk me through the 2022 results.
Oh, 24 coming up. So now, in this case, we asked a set of questions in the poll about who did you vote for in the most recent midterm election. And we asked Secretary of State, Attorney General, Governor, and Senate. And now a lot of pollsters, ones with maybe less courage, would really use those results to weight the poll, to match the outcome of the elections, and then bury the questions and pretend that they never even asked them. And, you know, to be honest, these results were just so unbelievable that we had to report them. So I'm very confident in the way we weighted this poll. It's our standard methodology. We use very uncontroversial weightings. They're actually slightly more favorable to Democrats, 2 points, than the Edison numbers that came out for that everybody uses, you know, gold standard in the industry for exit polling. And so favorable to Democrats, just traditionally weighted. And what we found is that voters told us that just 4 months ago, they elected Carrie Lake as the governor of Arizona by 8 points.
I want you to repeat that. Just focus on the governor, because I know you got others we want to get into, but I got to walk me through the methodology again. Take a minute, walk through the methodology, and then tell me the results of the governor's race.
As far as polling methodology, you know the way we work. We are a high-volume pollster. We love a system that we can believe in, and we know it works at a national level. If you average all of our September and October generic ballot polling, we were off 1.2% from the official reported national House popular vote. So the polling works, and we've gone into states and tested it too. And I'll tell you what, we nailed the Arizona Republican primary at the end of the summer. And, you know, there weren't Democrats in that election. But in this case, we go to online panels and we use landlines in Arizona and dial them up and ask people these questions. Then we took their demographics and weighted it to match the electorate. The Edison exit polling said in 2022, the electorate was R plus six. We used R plus five. And we got Carrie Lake winning 51-43 against Katie Hobbs and beating Katie Hobbs by 14 points among independents. And I'll tell you, I would have to put Democrats up eight in this data set in order to get Katie Hobbs to win. Now, if you run through the others, we have Mark Fincham winning Secretary of State by 3 points. We have Abe Hamaday winning over Chris Mays by 6 points. But we have Blake Masters losing by 4 points to Mark Kelly. Here's the thing, Steve. it's almost exactly what the outcome was. We're only 1 point off. We had Mark Kelly at 50 and Blake Masters at 46. I think the final numbers was Mark Kelly at 51. And these numbers, the numbers Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just hang on for one second. I want to bring in Kerry Lake, joins us. Kerry, this also tracks all the polling, the aggregate of all the polling that was done beforehand. Your thoughts, ma'am?
Well, my thoughts are the red wave did happen. The red wave did happen. And they had to cheat. They had to sabotage Election Day. They had to go way out of their way to stop it here in Arizona. And everyone knows it. This just verifies it. I thank Mark and Rasmussen for having the courage to put a good poll out where they actually ask the questions people care about. And you know what else I learned from this poll, Steve, is that people do understand that our elections are rigged and corrupt. And it is an issue they care about. So this narrative that the fake news and the uniparty tries to say, which is, oh, she shouldn't have even talked about the past elections. No, nearly 50% of Arizonans thought that the 2020 election was rigged. And I have to look at the numbers here. 55% of Arizonans believe that this current 22 election was rigged. It is an issue they care deeply about because they know we can't solve the problems at the border, the problems with our children's education, the problems with crime on the streets if we are not having elections where we truly choose who ends up in office, if we don't have honest elections. I'm really pleased with this because it's exactly what we've been saying. It verifies what we've been saying. An 8-point victory is a landslide. We beat Katie Hobbs, and guess what? Even Katie Hobbs knows it. And I knew that Arizonans did not vote to put a man like Adrian Fontes in the Secretary of State's office. Arizonans don't want a cartel lawyer running our elections. Mark Fincham won, Abe Hamadeh won, Kerry Lake won. And what's really encouraging about this is that in 2024, it looks like Donald Trump will win here by 11 points if he keeps up what he's doing right now and Joe Biden continues to drive our country into the ground.
Does this give you, look, you're one of the few, you have more steely resolve than virtually anybody I've met. I've met a lot of people with steely resolve. You are a hammer. Does this reinforce the fact that you've got to take this all the way through the Supreme Court and then maybe beyond because you are the legitimate governor of Arizona, ma'am?
I am. You almost said California, and Arizona's starting to feel like California with these frauds that are sitting in our state government. We're going to take it all the way. And as you know, Tuesday, the Arizona Supreme Court will meet and consider taking up our case. I hope they see the results of this poll and will realize that this is an issue they have to take up. They can't allow that ridiculous, outrageous ruling by the lower judge and the lower court to stand, or they will be giving their stamp of approval on the most fraudulent election we've ever seen in this country. They will basically, if they allow that lower court ruling to stand, if they don't take this case up, they're basically telling every election official across the state and every town, every county, that you don't have to follow election laws. They're just suggestions. You don't have to follow chain of custody laws. It's a suggestion. We've got to have our elected officials that are running our elections follow the laws, and they're not doing that right now, and it's hurting our state. 67%, by the way, in this showed that, I'm sorry, 68% of Arizonans want the border to be secured. They don't think enough is being done right now. And when you steal elections and put people like Katie Hobbs in there who wants the border to be wide open, then we're hurting the people of this state. And the Supreme Court needs to take this case up.
Just give me a minute on you got a meltdown of the financial system now, and people are understanding they're the backup. They're the wage earners are the ones going to write the checks and do the bailouts. Here, what Rasmussen's done, there's an asset eating away at people on these elections. They know these things are rigged and stolen, and you can see the anger building. They're just not going to put up with these elections being stolen. Comments, Kerry Lake.
That's right. That's right. I mean, how many more? I think they've been stolen and manipulated for a long time. But when you get a populist candidate such as myself or you get a Donald Trump in there, it becomes very obvious. It's hard for them they have to go out of their way to rig it in a very obvious way to stop candidates who are actually going to go in and work for the people. And this is why, and I told your audience this before, this is why I had someone show up at my door and say, what will it take to get you not to run again? We don't want you on the ballot. We just want you to put your movement on ice for a couple of years and don't run again. Because I think they're freaked out at the thought of me being on the ballot again and a Donald Trump being on the ballot again. They're pulling their hair out going, how much harder can we rig these elections? The people are going to basically say, no, we're not allowing this again. And we know how they did it now. They went right out in right in front of our faces. It was a highway robbery. They had the machines that didn't work on Election Day when they knew the Republicans were showing up. And the people of Arizona won't take it any longer. And so that's why I love populism, because not only is it good for the people, it addresses the needs of the people. It also makes it harder for them to cheat.
It's a cleanser for the system. Carrie, how do people get to you, ma'am, over the weekend?
They can find me at carrielake.com, and they can find me on Getter and Twitter and Truth and all of the social media platforms at Carrie Lake. Thank you, Steve.
Carrie, Tuesday's a big day. We'll be all over it. Okay, Carrie Lake, thank you for joining us. Mark Mitchell, I'm going to ask him to stay over, and we got the Mike Lindell. All next in the world. We will fight till they're all gone. We rejoice when there's no more. Let's take down the CCP.
Getter has arrived. The new social media taking on big tech, protecting free speech, and canceling cancel culture. Join the marketplace of ideas. The platform for independent thought has arrived. Superior technology. No more selling your personal data. No more censorship. No more cancel culture. Enough. Getter has arrived. It's time to say what you want, the way you want. Download now.
Okay, we're going to be on Getter all weekend. As you can tell, things are heating up 5 to 7 at night. We're going to be obviously live. We got Peter Navarre, others on the capital markets wrap up. Plus, tomorrow going to do geopolitics, capital markets, economics, all of it. So make sure you're here. By the way, go birchgold.com/Bannon. Get the debt trap. You must get all this. It's a homework assignment, all three installments. I'm going to break it down and talk about it tomorrow also. Mark Mitchell, incredible work. Thank you for your sponsors doing this. Carrie Lake wins Arizona by 8 points, which all the pre-polling showed. Your analysis here is brilliant. Just one thing, a hat tip to your sponsor. Whoever did this is brilliant, and we want more people to sponsor these type of polls. Also, it shows Trump in 2024 up by 11. Just remember, winning Arizona by 11 right now with a smart, tough poll. Mark Mitchell, your thoughts and observations. I'm going to get you back on here later to go through your magnificent poll the other day on Trump's approval rating shifting and why. But walk me through your assessment right now.
Just like I said yesterday, the Republican Party's Trump's party. Arizonans want Trump back in office. 11-point advantage, 16-point advantage among independents, 4-point crossover advantage with Democrats. The signals, it's very clear. And Republicans on the generic ballot are doing just as well. Really like to thank the sponsors, Rick Thomas, national chairman of the College Republicans United. They're a campus group of paleo conservatives. You should check them out at national_CRU at Twitter. Really thank them for doing this. But since it's a sponsored poll, what it means is that every single person watching this right now can go to RasmussenReports.com, check out the story, download the crosstabs yourself. They're not behind a paywall. 25 really good questions, and you can dig into all the crosstabs. And I mean, the data's there. Like, these numbers don't lie.
Get into it over the weekend. This is important. Mitchell, I'm going to figure out when to get you back on this Trump poll, because it was amazing. And I think the establishment, neoliberal, neocon, globalist, got to understand, you don't have a chance anymore. Game over. This is a policy shift. People finally get it, and they're mad about it, and they're going to stick to this. Mark Mitchell, real quickly, what's your Twitter? Because you're putting up great stuff on Twitter and Getter all day long.
It's been on fire since our interview yesterday. And thanks, Steve. It's Rasmussen_poll.
Brother, great work. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for sticking around. Mike Lindell, Arizona, brother. Tell me about it. Give me your thoughts.
Well, I'm going to put up all these stats today, Steve. I knew I'd be coming on here to report this. And I talked to the lawyers. You know, we're appealing the Carrie Lake case. It goes before the Arizona Supreme Court. They have to make a decision this Tuesday. So everybody, if you're out there, reach out on your social media, put it out there, put accept this case. You know, we've got to put the word out and get the messaging out to the Supreme Court in Arizona to accept the case. Here's why, Steve. In Maricopa County, they did no logic and accuracy testing, which is against the Arizona law. The machines didn't work in 60% of the vote centers from 8 in the morning, from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Every 30 minutes, starting at 6 a.m., there were over 7,000 times that ballots were rejected by the tabulators. That is just an incredible amount of basically they turned off the machines and set them to not work the whole day. Now, they disregarded the chain of custody laws. There's, and here's the big one. There's more than 35,000 ballots that were injected at Runbeck. And remember, Runbeck is a third-party corrupt processor, and there's no explanation for it. We have a whistleblower that testified under oath that they
why did the judge wave that off as not evidence? Because that's what he said, didn't he?
Well, Steve, we don't know that, but that's why we hope that the Supreme Court, that they accept this in Arizona, because you can do your own, you know, I have my own suspicions of why the judge.
Hang on. I'm saying the trial judge didn't buy that argument on Runbeck. I don't think. I mean, I read his opinion. I don't think he bought that.
I don't know. I mean, we can only say down, up, and why is right, wrong in the times we're living in? It's disgusting. They dropped the way this works. The ballots that come from these drop boxes and they're trucked into the MTEC, and when they're trucked in, Steve, they're supposed to count all the ballots as soon as they open the seals. The law say they have to count them, and they did not.
Yep.
Now I want to tell everybody what the relief is here. Under the law, under the Arizona law, they have to set aside the election in Maricopa County. It means it doesn't count. That result makes Kari Lake the winner. So this is what they need to accept this on Tuesday. If this just goes all for nothing, Steve, they can do anything in our country. The laws are thrown out the window. But Kari's asked for a new election in Maricopa. Yep. Run by a court-appointed special master, not the corrupt Maricopa County officials. So really need to all put it out on your social media, you know, and pray that the U.S. Supreme Court, that the Supreme Court, the Arizona Supreme Court, accepts this case on Tuesday. Yep.
We got 90 seconds. Tell me about the company. I know you're still under pressure.
Yeah, the company, you guys have been great out there. Remember, use that promo code WARROOM. We have the MyPillow 2.0. If you've had a MyPillow, the technology behind the MyPillow 2.0, it improves your sleep. Your best sleep ever just got even better. And if you go there today, we've got the slippers. We're closing out the all-season slippers for $25 a pair for the War Room posse and also, I'm going to add today, we're closing out our Percale sheets, bed sheets. You can get them as low as, I believe it's $25 a set. Queen size, $35 a set. We're doing these massive closeout, and we're never bringing them back. This is it. So that once they're out, the limit is 10 on the slippers. But the big thing, you've got to get the MyPillow 2.0. My employees, we're thanking all of you that it's just taken off. Yeah. It's changing the way that our country sleeps. We improved on the best pillow in history by adding this temperature-regulated thread that was available in the U.S. here. We developed the fabric, and we launched this a month ago, and it's just been incredible. You're looking good. You sleep on a MyPillow 2.0, don't you?
I sleep on all your products, and trust me, it's a tough time to sleep, right, with everything going on in the world, the meltdown of the financial system, the CCP. Okay, Charlie Kirk follows us. Populism National has served up hot on Real America's Voice. Mike Lindell, thank you. We're back 5 to 7 in the War Room.